I think I'm entitled.
You want answers!
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
There was a reporter, I probably shouldn't say this, but I'm gonna say it. There was a reporter in the room who was under a table, and when the shots went off and everybody's hiding, she said, "I hope they killed the orange MF." That was a journalist in the room who was hoping that when she stood up, the president of the United States would be dead. So I'm coming to a public venue where I know it might be hostile to expose myself to an honest dialogue, an open dialogue. If you ask me a question and I don't have an answer, I will get you something in writing or we can talk on the phone. But when you have members of the press openly enticing, hoping, talking about killing the chief executive officer of this country, again, Muslim, Jew, Hindu, I don't care. That's a problem.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
I hope they killed the orange MF.
Those are the most powerful words from Tennessee Congressman Republican Ogles. He did not identify the reporter. Now, of course, you could say, oh, he made it up. He made it up. No one said something like that. You can choose that opinion if you want. But let me give you some backup on two different points. One, how many times have we heard vile, violent rhetoric from the far left? Not all Democrats. In fact, many Democrats walk away from that. They do not want to be involved and entangled in it. They don't like Trump either, but nobody on any sane mind of any sane mind wants to see the president assassinated. Listen, I did not like Joe Biden. I didn't like what Obama did in many cases, but I never once said, I can't wait for somebody to kill the MF-er. Come on! But you want still additional backup for it? In Minnesota, there is a progressive beer company called Minnewaka Brewing Company, whatever, and it's owned by a far leftist, and he has promised free beer all day long on the day Donald Trump is dead. Free beer. Kill the president, get free beer. You cannot get more vile than that, can you? I say no. Well, I don't know how they're going to try to step around and say, it's just kind of a joke and a farce. That is not a joke. Any more than Jimmy Kimmel's remarks the other day that, you know, Melania is looking a lot like an expectant widow. Now, he made those remarks before the attempt to kill Trump and others at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. And he since said, I was talking about that the age difference, that he's probably going to die before her. That's how he's trying to walk his way back out of it. Melania has a look of an expectant widow. A Minneapolis, Minnesota beer company offering free beer all day long on the day Trump dies or is killed. Now, they don't say killed, but they don't care how he dies. They're going to give you free beer. This is the vile slime that exists within the left ranks. I've got a guest coming up later. We're going to address what should be done about them. That is just part of what we have. We have a program today that is going to be rocking and rolling. You better buckle up for it. Glad to have you on board. And one part, obviously, Trump and the Iranian talks and so forth, Iran making another offer. Trump says they're pleading for us to drop the blockade, and what they're offering is nothing. We have no interest in continuing the talks. We will get into that as well. Welcome to hour number one, Larry Connors USA. We're here every Monday through Friday for you from 6 to 8 p.m. And when we're on the air, we are streaming video. You can watch the program. I encourage you to do it. How do you do it? You go to News Talk STL Rumble, Facebook or Twitter, Larry Connors USA Rumble or Facebook. And everything later goes up as a podcast, video and audio. at all those locations, including LarryConnorsUSA.com. With Larry Connors USA, every program, every hour, you're going to get news, analysis, opinion, and education. You will leave this hour with more knowledge than you have as we began the hour. In our next hour, the president of the John Birch Society. We're going to talk about a case in front of the Supreme Court right now. Geofencing. What does that mean? They're looking at ways to, if there's a crime committed, they want to be able to go to the various AI companies and others saying, look, we want recognition and knowledge of all phones and our people that might have been inside that area where a crime took place. Is that a violation of your rights? If you don't have anything to hide, you think, well, I'm not worried, but it is a slippery slope, is it not? We will get into that later in our second hour. And later this hour, John Daniel Davidson of The Federalist will join us on what we were talking about a moment ago, and that is the leftist killer cult. He says they must be destroyed. And our story behind the story today. Obviously, the deadliest skyjacking our world has known has been 9/11. But a lot of the skyjacking things began back in the 60s and 70s. Some say that was the golden age of skyjacking. And one of those cases took place in Houston, where I was a reporter at the time. And it was a deadly event. That's our story behind the story, coming later. Now, back to this vile language we're hearing from the left. Oh, I've got other words I can use. I know I've probably repeated vile a few times too many, but the words I would choose, I cannot say on the air. But what we do hear from the left, which we heard from Nancy Pelosi, I told you yesterday, well, we can't be blamed if someone hears something and goes off and does something. Like, we can't be blamed. The hell you can't. It's inciting that action. And Missouri Senator Schmidt says this is not a both sides issue.
And I would point out, we've heard years of the left, their loudest voices calling anyone on the right extremist MAGA Republicans, fascists, Nazis, an existential threat to democracy. Check yourself. And don't give me this both sides bullshit. Mr. Director, I want to ask you. The man who tried to kill Republican congressman at the congressional baseball practice, nearly killing House Majority Leader Steve Scalise, left-wing or right-wing violence?
Sir, I believe it was a left-wing ideology.
Okay. Burn down cities during the Summer of Love in the George Floyd riots, left-wing violence or right-wing violence? Left-wing. The Waukesha Christmas Parade massacre, left-wing. The Lee Zeldin stabbing attempt, left-wing. The Covenant School shooting in Nashville, left-wing. The Butler, Pennsylvania assassination attempt on President Trump, left-wing. The Trump International West Palm Beach assassination attempt, left-wing. The Abundant Life Christian School shooting, left-wing. The United Care CEO's murder, left-wing. Tesla's burned, keyed, damaged, firebombed, left-wing. The murders at the Israeli embassy, left-wing. The ICE facilities firebombed, left-wing. The Minnesota Catholic school shooting, left-wing. The anti-white Charlotte and North Carolina stabbing, left-wing. The attempted Utah News State firebombing, left-wing. And now, of course, the culmination of this vile trend, a left-wing assassination of Charlie Kirk. So don't give me this both sides. If we want to get to unity, let's be honest. Let's be honest.
Can you be honest? No, many on the left cannot be, because they only perpetrate and multiply lies. Pennsylvania Senator John Fetterman, Democrat, is calling on fellow Democrats to drop the TDS, the Trump Derangement Syndrome. Good luck with getting them to listen to you, even though you're a Pennsylvania senator of the Democrat persuasion. Carolyn Leavitt says, you look at what the man put out, the man charged with trying to kill Trump, in his manifesto.
When you read the manifesto of this shooter, ask yourselves, how different is the rhetoric from this almost assassin than what you read on social media and hear in various forums every single day? The answer, if you're being honest with yourself, is that there is no difference at all. Much of the manifesto of the would-be assassin is indistinguishable from the words that we hear daily from so many. For example, as the First Lady of the United States pointed out this morning, just 2 days prior to the shooting, ABC's late night host Jimmy Kimmel disgustingly called First Lady Melania Trump an expectant widow. Who in their right minds says a wife would be glowing over the potential murder of her beloved husband? And having experienced what I did with the First Lady on Saturday night, I can tell you that she was anything but that.
Carolyn Leavitt, that manifesto, roughly a 1,000-word note shared by various officials, does not mention Trump by name, but indicates the suspect had borne deep anger at the administration and the president himself and said, I can no longer allow a traitor to coat my hands with his crimes. He's also taken part in the No Kings rallies and things of that nature. And you want another example of someone that still stands by a hate speech? Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker, once again invoking Nazi Germany in reference to the Trump administration, saying, basically everything I've said about this man is coming true. That is a lie. It's a lie, Governor. But you've got all your lapdogs around you that will suck that up. And there's the issue. There is the issue. Those hearing this, if they're just the least bit unhinged, it basically gives them a green light. Last night on his program, Greg Gutfeld made that point.
This guy did hear voices. They were Tim Walz's. They were Ted Lieu's. They were Brandon Johnson's. They were CNN's. They were The View. They were MS Now. Okay. I think this is a helpful assassination attempt because it is the first one to show that you can be radicalized by liberal smugness. If you read his posts and if you read his manifesto, it sounds like every smarmy, sanctimonious, self-satisfied pronouncement from an asshole like Brandon Johnson, like Walz, like Lieu, the people who think they know better than you. This guy was not a crank. He was not deranged. Don't buy into that narrative because it lets these pompous asses off. He didn't do this because, as Jesse said, he didn't have voices in his head. He was just following orders. He was operating on a filter that said Trump was Hitler, and therefore it would be immoral if you didn't take Hitler out.
And once again, J.B. Pritzker, in light of that, says, yeah, Trump is a Hitler. There is no comparison to what Hitler did in killing, exterminating 6 million Jews to anything Trump has done. Do you understand that? I know I'm preaching to the choir, but I'm going to continue. That's why I want you to let others know that this program's on the air and get them to join our ranks. And I'll remind you what I said in the beginning. There's a guy, a progressive, that owns a Wisconsin brewing company. I might have mentioned Minnesota earlier. It's Wisconsin. And he's offering free beer all day long on the day Trump dies. They're really not totally deranged. They're just simply taking that, as you heard Gutfeld and others have made point. I'm just following orders. Today, President Trump today stated that Iran is in, quote, a state of collapse. Now, global analysts claim that Iran will run out of space to store its oil in maybe a dozen days. And, of course, they're not getting any money in. They can't ship it out either. They want the U.S. blockade lifted. But retired four-star General Jack King states Iran is still playing games.
During 3 weeks of negotiations, I think it's pretty revealing where we are. I mean, they are not ever going to meet President Trump's demands, in other words, and have an acceptable deal. They've dug their heels in here. What they do is they dangle out the possibility of a negotiated settlement, because their objective is to drag out the negotiations as much as possible. We did have a deadline, and we've gone past the deadline now. And what do you mean by dragging it out? What they want is more political and economic pressure on the president just to stop the war. That's kind of where they're at. They believe the reason for the ceasefire and going into negotiations was a result of shutting down the Straits of Hormuz and the pressure being applied to the president. And they've dug their heels in. And listen, our blockade is very effective. 80% of the revenue is being denied to Iran. And that's not sustainable for them, obviously.
No, it's not. And that's why Iran went to meet with Putin. Hey, we're in the same boat here. You got sanctions against you because of Ukraine. Help us out here. Let's work. Let's team up together. And I'm looking at some of the leftist media and how they're talking about Trump and Putin, and they're saying Trump is not being transparent about any meetings he might have with Putin. Why the hell should he? But he's getting the word to Putin. You can bet that. And Trump on his social media statement, Iran has just informed us they are in, quote, a state of collapse. They want us to open the Hormuz Strait as soon as possible as they try to figure out their leadership situation, which I believe they will be able to do. Now, I don't know if what I just read that Trump said about Iran and their statements, I don't know if it's true. But here's the issue in our nation right now. Too many in this country would accept the word of an Iranian dictatorial killing machine than the president of the United States. They would buy the lies from Iran because they buy all the other lies. Why not? General King says, we need to make it very clear to the Iranian leadership, whoever they might be, you will be a target.
If we haven't told these leaders who we're negotiating with, if we go back to combat operations, they're going to be held accountable and their personal survival is going to be target one, then we're missing a boat. I'm sure we have done something like that. Well, so that, I think, is a reasonable path, and I'm thinking that's the administration is certainly yesterday's meeting probably was likely all about what to do next.
What to do next, and he suggests go back full throttle to the war against Iran. General Jack Keane, four-star general, retired. As I mentioned earlier, my guest coming up is John Daniel Davidson, senior editor with the Federalist. His article, "The American Left is Enthralled to Political Violence. It Has to Be Destroyed." That and our story behind the story. Skyjackings, lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Another day, must be another roofer in town. John Beal and I were talking. He said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing, and the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? You need to remember only one name, John Beal. John Beal Roofing. You have a problem, he can take care of it, and we'll be here for you. John Beal Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Spring weather has everyone sneezing, even inside their home or building. Instead of saying Gesundheit, call Wellington Environmental to perform air tests to determine if mold levels are too high. Gesundheit is the same as saying bless you after someone sneezes, the German word meaning wishing you good health. Wellington Environmental can perform air testing that is simple, fast, and can identify issues keeping you from having good health. Wellington does the same for hospitals and nursing homes for indoor concerns. Give them a call. It's simple. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Tell Cindy, I need air sampling. They've seen it all. They can help you. Next time you hear Gesundheit, think Wellington, Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington. True comfort is something you should feel every day in your home. It's the quiet of your mornings, the consistency of your indoor temperature, the way your home feels season after season. With Renewal by Anderson, from consultation through installation, everything is handled by one experienced team, built around your home, your schedule. Our exclusive Fibrex material, stronger than vinyl, built for extreme temperatures. And right now, you can save 20% off your entire project. Plus, take an additional $100 off every window and door, up to $1,000. 20% off the entire project. Flexible financing is available, but you need to call by April 30th. 877-WINDOWS. RenewalByAnderson.com. 877-WINDOWS. RenewalByAnderson.com. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as Support Dogs for Our Brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. My guest, John Daniel Davidson, we've had on numerous times before. He's a senior editor of The Federalist, also author of a book that I strongly encourage you to get and read because it does say a lot about where we are in our nation, where we should be going. Pagan America, The Decline of Christianity in the Dark Ages to Come. John, welcome aboard again.
Hey, thanks for having me, Larry.
I'm looking at the article you have in the Federalist today dealing with what happened over the weekend and the latest attempt to kill President Trump. And you say left-wing political violence will not end unless it's actively stopped. We're not going to argue our way to peace.
That's right. And the reason I say that is because anytime this happens, when there's a high-profile assassination attempt, or in Charlie Kirk's case, a successful assassination, we hear the same voices from the establishment right saying, oh, we need to lower the temperature, we need to calm down our rhetoric, we need unity, we need to come together as a nation. And I'm sick and tired of hearing those platitudes. They are totally meaningless, and they are worse than that. They're like a form of lie, falsehood, because you can't come together and have unity with a political ideology that seeks to orphan your children and terrorize you and kill you. You don't argue your way out of that. You have to stop it. You have to take active measures to stop it. And my argument is that in the piece is that the American left is totally enthralled to political violence. And as a movement, it has to be crushed through force of law, through the active application of law. If we have to change the laws, change the laws. But you can't reconcile and have peace with a political movement that is totally embraced political violence the way the American left has.
Missouri Senator Schmidt, Republican, obviously, said very much of what you were stating then. He said, this is not, I don't want to hear both sidesism. This is not a both sidesism. All the violent acts have been committed by leftists.
That's right. And not just the violent acts, but when you look at, you know, recent polling, which I cited in my piece, you know, you have a shocking level of endorsement of political violence that respondents to polls will say. I cited a YouGov poll from last year. 42% of self-described liberals believe political violence is sometimes justifiable. Only 9% of conservatives said the same thing in that poll. A 2025 Rutgers University study on political violence found that 56%, a majority of self-identifying left-wing respondents, justified the murder of Donald Trump.
56%.
That is not a normal or healthy political movement. That's a radical ideology, but it's mainstream on the left.
And then it surfaces in a late night show as Jimmy Kimmel. And he made the statement prior to the correspondents' dinner, later claimed, well, I was talking about the age and difference between Melania and the president, when he said, Melania, you look like a woman glowing widow. I mean, suggesting you'll be a widow soon.
Yeah, the glow of an expectant widow.
Right.
It was a crass, vile joke that Kimmel has sort of specialized in over the years. He kind of comes up right to the edge of violent rhetoric and glorifying political violence. And then he acts all shocked when he gets called out on it, like, oh, I wasn't being violent. I wasn't courting political violence in a country where clearly a vast swath of the American left has embraced political violence as an ideology. You would think if you cared about political violence, if you wanted to reduce it in this country, you would stay far away from that kind of rhetoric. But the fact that people like Kimmel don't just shows that they don't care about reducing political violence. They like political violence when it's on their side and it's aimed at their enemies.
You remember when Roseanne Barr got fired by ABC for a tweet she'd made, and I'm quoting from Jimmy Kimmel, May 29, 2018. ABC, to their credit, didn't waste any time. They canceled her show. I'm not a fan of censorship, but this wasn't about free speech. It's about consequences for saying something vile. You can say what you want. Networks don't have to pay you to say it. And you can't just blame Ambien for that. Actions have consequences. ABC made the right call. That's what he said in 2018.
Yeah, I mean, he's a buffoon and a hypocrite and a political actor in all of this. I would say he's a comedian, but he's not very funny.
No.
It's not just him. Jimmy Kimmel is representative of the attitude on the left. He's not an outlier. The only reason people talk about him is because he has a network evening program. But his views are mainstream on the left, just like those polls that I cited. Those are mainstream views. And we don't have to like wonder, you know, about what people think. We saw how the left reacted when Charlie Kirk was killed last September. They were publicly celebrating. They were gleeful. They were reveling in it. They were sneering and mocking. They still are. So these are people who are comfortable with political violence. And that is simply not true about the right. You can disagree with people's right-wing political views, but what you can't plausibly argue is that the right has a problem with embracing political violence on the mainstream of the right. That's simply not true.
And against the backdrop of your remarks and your article, I don't know if you'd seen it prior to your article being written. I gather you hadn't. But Tennessee Congressman Ogle said, and of course it's his statement, and they can claim that he's lying, but he says if we were hiding under the tables, ducking under the tables at the correspondents' dinner, one left-wing journalist said, I hope they kill the mother effer. That's what she wanted to do when she stood up. She wanted to see Trump dead on the stage.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why they hold this White House correspondents' dinner with a bunch of left-wing ideologues and supposed journalists who want the president dead. I don't know why he would throw a party for these people. You know, we've long argued at the Federalist that the White House correspondents' dinner should be abolished forever, and we've never attended it because we think it's a crass display of journalists making the story about themselves, and now they can all argue that they're survivors, right, of an assassination attempt. When of course the target was Trump, and a lot of them would have been happy if it had been successful, as you say. Yeah, the whole thing is just kind of shocking to realize that this is where we are in political life in America in 2026.
You're listening, John Daniel Davidson, senior editor with the Federalist. You mentioned earlier that if we need to change laws to get tougher and crack down on some of this, we need to, which brings me to a case before the Supreme Court, the geofencing, which would allow the government to draw a virtual fence around a geographic area where a crime was committed. After that, the government then could seek a warrant, not to search your home or office, but get a tech company to search its data to identify any of the millions of users within that geofence at the time of the crime. Is that a step too far?
Yeah, I mean, they already did that with January 6th.
Yep.
If you got a Starbucks within within 5 blocks of the Capitol, you probably got a call from the feds. You know, they scooped up everybody's data that was around the Capitol that day and went after them, and they jailed as many people as they could on the most ridiculous, outlandish charges. So they already do that when they are properly motivated, especially if they are coming after conservatives. And I think that they shouldn't. So when I say change the laws, I don't mean, make it possible to sort of criminalize people for just being in the vicinity of a crime, or to expand police powers to trample on the Fourth Amendment. But I do mean when it comes to people who are violent terrorists and members of violent terrorist organizations like Antifa, they should be treated like members of Al-Qaeda, right? That we need to, after Charlie Kirk was assassinated, why hasn't anyone else been arrested for that? Clearly, there were people who had foreknowledge of it. And yet, we're supposed to believe that Tyler Robinson was the only person who knew what he was going to do before he did it. I'm sorry, that just doesn't pass the smell test. The same with Thomas Crooks, the would-be assassin in Butler, Pennsylvania.
Let me
I'm sorry. You know, we've got to get serious about these networks.
In our last minute, because I don't want to cut you off, but in our last minute,
yeah.
After 9/11, we were all willing to say whatever we need to do to make our country safer, the Patriot Act. But then you start seeing that's a slippery slope. Same thing with geofencing. Your final thoughts on that?
Yeah. Yeah, the main way that we can make our country safer is to stop teaching our kids anti-American left-wing political violence in schools.
Amen.
And stop importing people who are from the third world with terrorist and radical Islamic ideologies. Close our borders. You know, crack down on legal and illegal immigration, and teach our children to love their country and to revere our heritage, and not teach them to hate our country and hate our heritage. That will prevent us from having these problems in the future if we can do that.
From your lips to God's ear and to the Congress, John Daniel Davidson, senior editor of the Federalist. As always, thank you for your time, John.
Thanks for having me, Larry.
You bet. His book, Pagan America, The Decline of Christianity, you can follow him on Twitter at John D. Davidson. Coming up, the story behind the story. When the 60s and 70s were considered the golden age of skyjackings, I covered one which involved a fatality.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I want to share something with you. Cooking a pizza using coal creates an amazing pizza. Only one place to get it, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield. Of course, they offer a wide variety of pasta, but you just visit the website NapoliSTL.com, dine in or take out, and get ready for patio season. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Try it. You can thank me later.
Yeah.
So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent's Jewelers. .com. Vincent'sJewelers.com. True comfort is something you should feel every day in your home. It's the quiet of your mornings, the consistency of your indoor temperature, the way your home feels season after season. With Renewal by Andersen, from consultation through installation, everything is handled by one experienced team. Built around your home, your schedule. Our exclusive Fibrex material, stronger than vinyl, built for extreme temperatures. And right now, you can save 20% off your entire project. Plus, take an additional $100 off every window and door, up to $1,000. 20% off the entire project. Flexible financing is available, but you need to call by April 30th. 877-WINDOWS. RenewalByAndersen.com. 877-WINDOWS. RenewalByAndersen.com. When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side, a St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every term. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-E-R, underlaw.com.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Now, Larry Connors with the story behind the story.
In the early 1970s, hijackings of flights originating from the U.S. were quite literally out of control. When the U.S. government passed the Anti-Hijacking Act of 1974, it was a direct response to what is now sometimes called the Golden Age of skyjackings. In fact, between 1960 and 1974, there were 240 hijackings, or attempted hijackings, between the U.S. and Cuba alone. On May 1st, 1961, Antuilio Ramirez Ortez took over the cockpit of a National Airlines flight on his way to Key West, Florida. He had a gun and a knife, and he demanded to be taken to Cuba so he could warn Fidel Castro of an assassination plot against him. Ortez said he was a Castro loyalist who left Cuba looking for work, but now wanted to return to his native land. When the plane arrived in Cuba, Castro returned it, the crew, and the other passengers within a day. The late 1960s and early 1970s were characterized by an epidemic of hijackings, and most of the planes were taken in the U.S. and then redirected to Cuba. The reasons for these hijackings varied widely, with the perpetrators wanting everything from being able to study communism to getting some decent frijoles. That's not a bad joke. Seriously, a guy hijacked an airplane for frijoles.
Frijoles. Beans. Serious, it's not a joke like you said. That comes from a compilation by Weird History. But as you heard, in most cases, they wanted to go to Cuba. There were other personal reasons, notoriety in some cases, just depression, money. D.B. Cooper, one of the most recognized, 1971, $200,000 he wanted. Of course, then jumps out the back of the plane with a parachute, never to be seen from. About $20,000 found along some areas, but the FBI suspended that as an active case back in 2016. But it's still on the books. And then there was a Houston deadly skyjacking, which I was involved in covering. I'll get to that a little bit later as we move forward with the story behind the story. But as you heard, at that time, we were having estimations of numbers of skyjackings. You were looking at maybe one a week. And in most cases, they just wanted to go to Cuba. They wanted to maybe deliver an airplane to Castro. Maybe they wanted to just get out of our nation. There were a lot of other ways to do it, but they didn't have the way to get to Cuba without taking the plane. In many cases, it was an inconvenience, but it wasn't that threatening. But at the height of the skyjackings and the beginnings of the so-called golden age of hijacking, between 61 and 73, just in that period, 160 recorded hijackings in American airspace, skyjacking a plane at a rate of nearly one per week. And then, of course, the security changes were coming about. The FAA did begin requiring mandatory passenger and baggage screening, but in the beginning, it was not mandatory for everyone. There was profiling. People were being pulled out and checked because you don't look exactly right. Then it became apparent that that could be a violation of civil rights. Maybe they better and should, for security reason, go with everybody. And of course, as all this was going on and what they were supposed to do about it, what could be done about it, the public was at no loss for some ideas.
If there's one thing the world has learned from social media and internet comments, it's that everyone thinks they're an expert on everything. So when hijackings became a problem and the FAA decided they wanted to take action, you can bet your house the average airline passenger had a few ideas on what should be done, and they weren't afraid to say so. Passengers, understandably, wanted to protect themselves, so they chimed in and offered suggestions ranging from cartoonishly impractical booby traps to screening processes rooted in bigoted paranoia. Some of the more memorable examples of passenger suggestions included installing trapdoors outside cockpits, arming stewardesses with tranquilizer darts, and playing the Cuban national anthem before takeoff and then arresting anyone who knew the lyrics. Lucky for everyone, the FAA decided to listen to the experts. Although it may not be the most exciting or gratifying strategy, simply giving in to an armed skyjacker's demands was the safest, most practical option for airline pilots. So that's what they were told to do. Cockpits were equipped with maps of the Caribbean. Pilots were told about the landing facilities at Havana's Jose Marti International Airport. And they were given cards with rudimentary Spanish so they could communicate with any potential hijacker. An official Cuba hijack phone line was installed at Miami Air Traffic Control.
Yeah, they had an official line to help pilots get to Havana and land safely and then get back out. Just like, it's just a detour on our flight. And again, for most passengers, it was more of an inconvenience. But the threat was escalating. In 2002, U.S. Congress passed Arming Pilots Against Terrorism Act, allowing pilots to carry guns in the cockpit. Now, it's estimated that 10 out of 125,000 pilots were trained and armed and might still be at that number, but of course, it's not being made clear. Also, the Marshal Service put in effect. Federal marshals in the U.S. could go on board carrying their weapon, identifying themselves to the crew as they went on board, but not the passengers sitting beside you. And then it wasn't just men doing the hijacking. There was a woman.
You're one sentence away from launching your website with Base 44. Since the beginning of the internet, there's never been such a...
Most all hijackers up until this point had been men, but not all hijackers are men. Take Catherine Marie Kurkow, who along with fellow Black Panther Roger Holder, hijacked Western Airlines Flight 701 from Los Angeles to Seattle by claiming to have a bomb. They demanded $500,000 and let the plane land in San Francisco. Once on the ground, Kurkow and her colleague boarded a plane to Algeria, where they were granted asylum. Not cool, Algeria. She was charged with air piracy by a federal court in 1972, and a warrant was issued for her arrest. In 1975, the two were arrested for trying to illegally enter France. They were found guilty and fined, and they were released but not allowed to leave Paris. Kurkow, however, left. Holder was extradited to the U.S., but Kurkow's whereabouts are unknown. She remains on the most wanted list for domestic terrorism.
And as this began to escalate, terrorist groups began to realize we can take over planes across Europe or wherever else. So, yes, there is more to the story behind the story.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Do you know why I endorse Cafe Napoli? All the locations? Visit any of them, and you will quickly appreciate the quality of food, service, atmosphere. So maybe I'll see you at Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli Kirkwood, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, right next door to Napoli C. Or maybe you'll find me at Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Now you know why I endorse Napoli. NapoliSTL.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Now, the end of the story behind the story.
Good evening. Tonight, on a desert airstrip in Jordan, Palestinian terrorists are holding as hostages almost 200 passengers and crewmen aboard two of those jetliners hijacked yesterday. Earlier, they released and took to Amman about 100 women, children, and elderly people, acknowledging they might not be able to survive another night in the planes. But they retained custody of American, British, West German, and Swiss male passengers, along with Israeli nationals. And they threatened to blow them up, along with the Transworld Airlines and Swiss Air Jets, if their demands for the release of a number of commandos from Western and Israeli jails are not met. There's been quite a bit of confusion over whether the terrorists also were demanding the release of Sirhan Sirhan, who's awaiting execution in California for the murder of Senator Robert Kennedy. A Palestinian guerrilla spokesman in Lebanon said Sirhan's freedom is being sought. But a guerrilla official in Amman denied that report, and it also was denied by the State Department.
CBS Walter Cronkite, September 1970. And three jets were on a desert area in Cairo. And they did threaten to blow them up. But before they blew one of them up, they did release those on board. The Pan Am attendant describing what happened.
So we briefed the crew, and everybody was together, and we briefed them. And everything was very smooth. We told the passengers what was going on. We explained to them exactly what to do and what doors to go to.
Now, how long did it actually take you to evacuate the plane when the time came?
When the time came, I'm not sure. I think it took anywhere from 1 to 2 minutes to evacuate. And within 3 minutes, the cockpit blew up. The cockpit was the first place to go. It was the lounge. The whole plane was wired, but the lounge went. I was one of the last in the airplane. There were two or three of us left, and I had run about 100 yards from the airplane, and the lounge blew, and I turned around and I looked, and I could see that the whole plane was lighted. All the lights were on the landing gear and everything, all the lights were on, and the lounge had blown. There was fire coming out of there. So I think that it was within about 3 minutes.
Now, they told you before you landed did they tell you that they intended to blow up the plane?
They never said exactly. They told us that we had 8 minutes to get everybody out and away from the plane. They told us to be 600 meters from the plane, 300 meters from the plane.
But you had a good idea that they intended to blow it up.
We had seen the dynamite. They had dynamite all over this class cabin, and we knew it was there, and we knew that they were going to do it. So.
And then there came a day in Houston. I get a call early in the morning, a little after 4 a.m., by our night beat reporter, photographer. And he's been joined by another photographer out there, but the first one who called me was our normal beat reporter. He said, he's just going crazy. Larry, I could not understand what he was trying to tell me. I said, is Bob, the other photographer, is he there? He said, yeah. Get him on the phone for me. Bob gets on, stoic, more mature. I said, Bob, what's going on? He said, well, guys decided to take over this jet out here, and they shot and killed one of the ticket agents on us. They took the plane and headed off. So I got involved at that point. This was the case involving an Eastern Airlines employee who was just taking up tickets on the covered ramp leading to the jet in Houston. A 26-year-old ramp attendant got shot twice in the arm when he tried to help the one who had been killed. The flight, originally from San Antonio with a stop in Houston, then was taken over by the hijackers, and they wanted it to go to Cuba. It did, and then it returned. It turned out that the men who took over that plane were three of them wanted for murdering a police officer and a bank, an attempted robbery at a bank in Arlington, Virginia. So I get to the scene that night at the Houston airport, and of course it's tight restrictions at that point. And this was, as it later turned out to be, the first hijacking to Cuba in which someone other than a hijacker was killed. And that did renew calls for tighter security. This is at Houston Intercontinental Airport. If you've been in there, it has a large hub and various extensions like spokes from a wheel. Well, security at that time was not the way it is now, obviously. And in fact, I later did a report just outside the secure area, which was already the lounge. You're only a dozen steps from the ramp headed to the plane. And I had a starter's pistol in my belt. And I'm standing there talking to my photographer, lifting my shirt to show what I've got and saying, this is how close you could get the way things are now. I've yet to go through a checkpoint. It's right there, just feet from the door to go down the ramp. And we were focusing on how lax the security was, that it still was not going to be enough. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we caught hell over that. And the airport management and others basically made us persona non grata for anything we were doing. And often you counted on airport management to help you if you're trying to catch a flight at the last minute and get to a news story. That all went to hell. And Larry Connors was singled out as a reason, not only by airport management, but other stations in town. But it was a fact. Whatever they had put in place after the shooting of the airline ticket agent was still going to be inadequate because I'm standing, as I said, maybe a dozen feet from being checked, and I'm having, if it had been a real pistol, I've got it available. And no one would know if it's just a starter pistol. The reasonings, as I said, for these skyjackings were varied. One of them wanted, in 1970, money and a meeting with the U.S. Supreme Court. The first one that was stopped was in July 1961, a guy trying to hijack a plane in Chico, California. But officially identified as the first U.S. commercial hijacking, skyjacking, was May 1 of 61, when a guy diverted a plane to Cuba. And, of course, then we still had the D.B. Cooper story remaining unresolved. But that skyjacking in 1961 was the first documented skyjacking. The story behind the story tomorrow. Tomorrow marks the date the L.A. riots began in 1992 following the death of Rodney King, the beating death. That's our story behind the story. Our second hour is still to come. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
John Beal Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call John Beal to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beal has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF, John Beal. There's only one place you can get pizza cooked over coals, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Of course, Napoli Brothers has a great selection of pasta dishes. Between the pizza and pasta, trust me, you will not leave hungry. Then, a few doors down, Lit Cigar Lounge, a wide variety of quality cigars, each offering a unique smoke. That cigar, some premium whiskey, all you need to do is enjoy. Lit Cigar Lounge and Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta, Chesterfield Valley. It's that time of season when families' businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as Support Dogs for Our Brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent's Jewelers. .com. VincentsJewelers.com. Let's be candid, honest. No out-of-state law firm can represent you better than Under Law. O-N-D-E-R. Hometown roots, attorneys living right here with you and your family. When you suffer an injury because someone else was negligent, Under Law will make sure the other party takes full responsibility. You'll get full compensation, not a backroom deal worked out with some insurance companies. And of course, we're moving into the stormy season. And again, when you have a legitimate claim, you should be properly compensated. Under Law does not toy around with adjusters, investigators, lawyers trained to cheat you of what is rightfully yours. Under Law has already recovered millions for families across Missouri and Illinois. Under wins. Not just a catchy phrase, it's a fact. So I'll repeat it. Under wins. Under Law. .com. O-N-D-E-R. Underlaw.com. Wins.
This is News Talk STL.